In the world of singer-songwriters and folk musicians, the names Wainwright and Roach carry a pretty great deal of cachet on their own. Now put them together and you'll have an idea of the expectations, fair or unfair, facing musician Lucy Wainwright Roach, daughter of Loudon Wainwright III and Suzy Roach. Lucy has her own very distinct voice and musical vision, expressed in two EPs and her 2010 CD, Lucy. In October, she'll release her second full-length CD, There's a Last Time for Everything, and you're hearing a cut from that record now called Seek and Hide, when she's joined by Colin Malloy of the Decemberists. Next week, Lucy Wainwright Roach kicks off her latest tour with performances at the Duplex in the West Village on July 16th and 19th. I'm so happy to welcome Lucy Wainwright Roach to the studio today. Hi, Lucy.
Hi.
It's awesome to have you here.
It's so great to be here.
The new record sounds really beautiful, and that song particularly is a killer.
Yeah, I like that one.
It's really beautiful. So when you Google your name, certain phrases get thrown at you.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. Indie folk songwriter out of Brooklyn, impressive pedigree, born into songwriting royalty, and that's just on NPR. That's just the NPR site. How do you feel about being described that way?
Well, I feel like there's a lot of people in my family who do this for a living, and I can't exactly make a good case for why you need another one, but I'm here. So there's that. But, you know, that's fair. I mean,
Yeah. You
know,
yeah,
there's a lot of us.
I know. But you yourself have your own very distinct sound. I mean, each of you has your own very distinct sound.
Yeah, that we're lucky
right.
That we don't sound like each other. So we're not in each other's way that much, which is great.
So how was it growing up in that family with, you know, all those musicians around?
It was good. I thought it was good. I went on tour a lot as a kid with my mom and my aunts. That was my summer camp. That's what I did in the summers, and I thought it was great. I also thought that I was going to, like, be a vet or
right.
something.
Well, you were. You did go and get your master's in general education. You became a
yes,
teacher at
a
first.
A teacher, not a vet.
Right,
a
not a vet, but a teacher. And so how long were you a teacher for?
I taught 1 year in North Carolina and 2 years in New York.
How old were your students?
They were second and third graders.
That's wild.
And now they're, like, you know, in high school.
So what happened? What was the thing that made you leave teaching?
Well, I went on tour with my brother Rufus just for fun, just for kicks, for a summer. Mm-hmm. And I realized that I really missed that whole world. And then I went back to teaching for a year. And that was a job that I loved and continue to love and miss. And then, but I kind of got sucked back in to the family business a little bit. And so I figured if I'm going to give this a go, now's the time. So.
Right, right. It's funny because you don't look anything like Al Pacino in Godfather. Hey, pull me back in.
On the outside.
on the inside, it's
very
a whole other story.
Yes.
You actually wrote a really beautiful song about leaving your students. It's called Spring Song, and it's on your second EP, which is called Eight More. I think it's a beautiful song, and if you're out there in listening land, you should go on iTunes. It's all of your records are on iTunes, right?
Oh, yeah.
What kind of music did you like growing up?
Well, I was really into musicals, so I loved that last segment.
Oh, good.
And really into musicals, and then really into sort of like, and in first grade, my favorite record was Tracy Chapman's first record. So I like
that's
sort
a terrific
depressing
album. Yeah.
Songs from an early age, which I continue to admire.
Did you go through any kind of typical rebellious phase listening to music that your parents hated?
No. My rebellion was really school-based. Just going to college and then going to graduate school.
That was rebellion for
yes.
you.
Yeah. Music is a lot. I mean, I can't rebel through music. It's just not possible. So I was sort of going in the academic direction to get back at everybody.
So I'm going to ask you one more question about your family, and then we're going to move on, because I know it's boring probably having to talk
no,
about
it. No, I like
I know
them.
What it's like growing up in a
sure.
sort of showbiz family. People want to know all the time. But you have your own personality, your own work that you make. But you guys perform together a lot, right? That mm-hmm. might be a little unusual for a lot of
Yeah, it's
families.
It's an interesting thing. I've found that touring with your family is a really good way to take a family vacation because you're getting paid. And you have sort of a common goal. You know, it's not like sort of open-ended time of like, are we going to go swimming? It's sort of like, okay, the next town, the next show, we have to eat dinner.
Right.
You know, and that is like a really productive way to...
And you know when the next stop is, you know, sort of go, are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Right.
Right.
Exactly. And also you get your own hotel room, mostly.
That's great.
Yeah.
Right, because somebody else is paying, one hopes.
Hopefully.
Yeah. One hope in an ideal situation.
Yeah.
And then it might be fun, too, because if you're in the tour, do you get to all take the same bus?
Well, I'm not really in the bus arena of touring so much, but someone like Rufus is, so I get to go on his bus sometimes.
Right.
There's a lot of opera listening on his bus.
Oh, that's cool.
Everyone's bus has like a different personality. My bus is my car, which is almost about to never drive anywhere again.
Is it the same one you've been driving all these years? Can you tell people where you got that car?
I got it from, it's a hand-me-down from David Crusoe.
from the actor.
I don't actually know him, but I know his daughter, and she's delightful and wonderful, and she handed me down that car, which has allowed me to tour and have a career.
That's awesome.
So
that's a fantastic pedigree. So let's talk about your new album. There's The Last Time for Everything. It comes out in October. Oh, by the way, I should say I'm Martha Plimpton in for Leonard Lopate, and I'm speaking with Lucy Wainwright Roach about her new album, There's The Last Time for Everything. This is WNYC and WNYC.org. So why'd you decide to record this album in Nashville?
Well, I actually went down to Nashville just for fun to visit my friend Jordan, who I'd met on a musical cruise where they had all different musicians playing on a cruise ship, which was a whole other thing. We met there. I went down there just hoping to maybe record a couple of songs. I really didn't think enough songs to make a full-length record. And it turned into sort of a whirlwind, like, 8-day recording extravaganza. And we ended up with, you know, 11 songs, and it just sort of worked. And I had never worked with anyone really outside of my family. My stepdad had produced my other albums, which had always been a really great process, and he's amazing. But this was the first time I'd worked with somebody who, like, you know, didn't ever live in the same apartment as me.
So they had I don't know if it's more objective, but he had just had a different ear.
Yeah, and she just heard my songs a little differently, and they were different songs, and she also just, she had all her friends come in and play, and I had been working in New York previously and kind of calling upon different people to sing and play, and I just sort of handed it off to her, and she kind of took it in her other direction. So it has a slightly different feel to it, which was exciting and fun.
It does. It sounds different than a lot of your other work, which is your first two EPs are the first one's almost all, it is all acoustic, right?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
And it's you on guitar, like, across the board, the first one. And then the second one gets a little more orchestrated, a few more. And then your first album is, like, even more.
Yeah.
And now this one...
Even more.
I'm really, you can tell I'm really good with the musical descriptives.
Yeah, it's, and actually Stuart, who made my other records with me, he also did some work on this record. And so it was like a melding of all things.
So how did you hook up with, that's a wrong phrase, but how did you start working with Colin Molloy from the Decemberists?
Well, we had done a show, John Wesley Harding's Cabinet of Wonders.
Sure,
of
I know it
back.
Well. I've done it myself.
Yes, we did it.
We know, we have a history with Mr. Harding.
We do.
Yeah, so go on. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
I did a show of his, one of those Cabinet of Wonders shows in Portland, Oregon a few years ago, and Colin was on the show with me.
Mm-hmm.
And we exchanged emails and had a nice time all hanging out there together that night, and then I completely cold emailed him about the record and said I knew I wanted somebody, I wanted a male with a very distinctive voice, and he was the first person who popped into my head, and I thought, well, he probably doesn't even remember who I am, but I cold emailed him, sent him the song, and he could not have been more delightful.
He's a really nice guy.
He's so nice, and he sang wonderfully, and then he also was like, I took the liberty of adding some lap pats Like,
sweet.
Because he liked the shuffly sound of padding on his lap, and I just thought that was, like, the cutest thing I ever heard.
And so, it sounds really good,
it
too.
It sounds good. I love what he did. He did a great job.
Are there any distinct challenges singing with... Well, you and I have sung together
yes.
a few times. We did our own show mm-hmm. together at the ill-fated Zipper, you know, may it rest in peace.
Mm-hmm.
But we did our Stars in the Margin show where we had a ton of awesome guests. But what are the challenges of singing with people that you don't know very well?
Well, we were not in the same room when he sang, so when you send someone a song, you really hope, especially when you admire them greatly, that what they send back you like.
Mm-hmm.
Because the worst nightmare would be to say, like, well, actually, no yeah. thanks. But luckily, all three of the guest people who sang on this record sent back, like, I could not have been happier, and it was amazing. So I haven't ever actually run into that problem.
So next week you're kicking off your tour for your new album, There's a Last Time for Everything. Where are you headed? Oh, wait. I wanted, as part of this tour, you're doing something called Roots on the Rails, and it sounds really cool. Tell us about what that is.
Roots on the Rails is a thing where they have tours, train tours, where you play and sing on trains and the audience goes with you.
That is the most awesome idea.
It is awesome. I did it once before from LA to Santa Fe with a band called Over the Rhine, who I adore.
They're great.
You
introduced me to them. They're great.
They're great. And they are also, I'm going with them again to Alaska on a Roots on the Rails thing in September, so that should be fun.
Lucy, that's going to be incredible. It's combining two of my personal favorite things, your music and trains.
I mean, they go hand in hand.
I want to be able to go on this. What's the backstory, really quickly, behind the record that you made with your mom, Susie Roach, Fairy Tale and Myth, which is out now?
Yeah, that record is out now, and my mom and I are, the beginning of my tour is next week, starting at the Duplex in New York, and my mom and I are going to do some of that show, those shows together, because we made this record in the winter, kind of. It sprung out of nowhere. My mom had written a handful of songs. She started to record them with a friend of ours, Rob Morseberger, who played beautiful piano on the album. And we just sort of, over the winter months, recorded all these songs together. And he arranged a lot of the music. And there are no guitars on the record, which is weird for us.
Yeah.
So he played all the piano, and he did a beautiful job. And he actually was really ill during the winter with brain cancer and died in June. And so it was like a real, really interesting project for us all to work together. And so this record, Fairy Tale and Myth, was sort of like a little mother-daughter Rob Morseberger combo.
It's a really beautiful record, and I'm glad we got to... people are going to get to hear more of you. There's I'm told we're ending this interview with a little snippet of a duet that you did with somebody that we both may know. That
yes.
sounds weird, but your voice has been described as having the tranquility of a walk in the woods or a laugh with your best friend, and this other person's been described as mole sauce on a tamale. Is there anything you want to add about this song?
I mean, the most excellent mole sauce, I would say. I mean, if that's the realm we're in.
Well, as we leave, this has been Lucy Wainwright Roach. Thank you so much for coming in and talking with me. You're
Thanks
awesome.
For having
have a
me.
Great tour.
Thank you.
Got a wife and kids in Baltimore, Jack. I went out for a ride and I never went back. Like a everybody's got a hungry heart. Lay down your money and you play your part. Everybody's got a heart.